Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with pure hearts and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Many are the sorrows of the wicked, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the presence of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Son of the Father, that taketh away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that taketh away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for today, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, is written in the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with the 15th verse. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. This is Moses writing. So when he says a prophet like me, he's talking a prophet like Moses. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual verses. Praise the Lord, all nations, for great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson is written in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Here, We hear from St. Paul how we should use the knowledge that we have in a loving way in order to help our fellow Christians grow in their faith. Concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through him whom we exist. However, not all possess knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. He's talking about special foods. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so, by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ also. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord. Stand for the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The Gospel lesson recounts Jesus healing a man with an evil spirit. And here we see how his teaching was with authority, but we also see how he exercised his love. They went into Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We have been baptized into Christ, and together we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world. We continue with the next hymn, "Seek Where Ye May to Find a Way," 557. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our from Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. The text today is the Gospel lesson appointed for the day, Mark 1, 21 through 28. You've got it in your bulletin there. You can refer to it, and it's been read once. I want to read a few verses right toward the end. "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." That's the reading. Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, your great power over sin and evil is bested only by your greater love for humankind. You showed your power over the demon who possessed a man in the synagogue, but you did not let him destroy the man. When we wrestle with the forces of sin in our lives, keep our trust in your redeeming love for us strong, so that neither those powers nor we ourselves will destroy us. Amen. I want to talk about show and tell. Jesus' show and tell. One of the most amazing show and tells that I ever saw. You know what show and tell is, right? It's where you bring some object and you demonstrate how it's used, and by it you teach something. One of the most amazing show-and-tells that I ever saw was a kindergarten girl down at the parochial school at St. Paul Lutheran School in Bishop. Kindergarten girl, mind you. She brought her horse. Oh, she had help. Her father loaded up and brought it in the trailer, unloaded it. But she had her horse there for show-and-tell. And she showed her classmates how she rode barrels with this horse. What a demonstration. My goodness, that was quite something. I've never seen anything to top that. Jesus had his own show and tell. Right there in the synagogue in Capernaum, he was teaching and he showed his power when he cast that evil spirit out of the man who was possessed. And he demonstrated his power over evil, but he demonstrated something else too that I think maybe some of the people didn't notice. And we want to get that now. He showed his great love for that man. Jesus' power is impressive. The people were really impressed, you know. They were amazed, as a matter of fact, at what he did. They knew this man. He was someone in their midst, their neighbor, the son of somebody in the community, maybe a brother, uncle, who knows. They knew him, and they knew of this demon possession. And nobody could do anything about it. But Jesus did. He told that evil spirit, "Come out of him." And he did. And the people were amazed. And then they were also amazed at what he taught. He said, he teaches like somebody with authority, not like the scribes do. I don't know if you know too much about rabbinical teaching, but the rabbis would analyze a passage and they would write what they thought about it, and then they would go back and they'd see what other rabbis had said about it, and they'd pull them all together and say, "This is what I think, but this is what Rabbi somebody else says, and here's another thought." And so when they'd get to the end, they'd say, "Well, take your pick." Put them all together and see what you can come up with. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you," that's the way Jesus taught, with authority. And it wasn't just his teaching, but we see the authority of his word when he said to the evil spirits in that man in the synagogue, who were shouting out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Us? Us?" One evil spirit, but he said us, meaning himself and the man he possessed. "Have you come to destroy us?" And Jesus said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And he did. He threw the man down, but he came out of him. The man survived. Jesus wouldn't let the evil spirit harm him. "Have you come to destroy us?" No. Jesus came to release that man from the possession of that evil spirit. Now that is power. That's authority. And that was amazing. The people were amazed. But they didn't seem to notice something else that was even more amazing, and that was Jesus' love for that man. He preserved the life of that man. He didn't let the evil spirit destroy that man. And that's good to know, because that means that you and I, when things aren't going the way we think they should be going, can count on Jesus' love. We may not always see it in our lives. We may not always see how Jesus' authority in our lives is exercised with love. But it is. We see throughout Jesus' ministry, for example, his first miracle, what? Turning water into wine at a wedding, where if you run out of wine at a wedding, well, the people are going to be a little unhappy, but they'll survive, right? But Jesus, in his love for that couple and their families, for the way they were thought of in the community, reputation, that's what I was trying to think of, for their reputation, gave them, 120 gallons? I think it is. I didn't figure it out again, but I believe I remember that sometime in the past. 120 gallons of good wine. You see, he exercised his power to turn water into wine in a very loving way. And we need to see that because it addresses how he deals with us too. We don't always see it. Sometimes we don't recognize things that have happened to us in a loving way. We focus on the bad stuff. And when we do that, we're not trusting God. And not trusting God is a sin. That's one of those sins that we confessed in our confession this morning. One of those sins for which God says, "I forgive you." And that shows his love. So God's destruction and power to destroy is always balanced by his love. Yeah. What does God destroy? He destroys the sin in our lives. He destroys the power of death in our lives. And he has done it with love. And that's where the absolution comes in. For us to know that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, it's true that Jesus' power is very impressive. But his love is compelling. When the people saw what Jesus taught, or heard what Jesus taught and saw what he did, they saw him in a new light. And they recognized him as someone with authority and someone they could follow, they could trust, they could believe in. We can learn a lot from Jesus' example about letting love guide our lives. Jesus' example is, as I was talking about, the miracles throughout his life. He did them in love. Take another one, calming of the sea. The disciples thought they were going to perish, and Jesus woke up. He didn't have to wake up. The boat would have made it through. But out of love for his disciples, he woke up, and he calmed the seas. His love was compelling. The disciples believed in him. And you can go on through all of Jesus' miracles. And you can take also a look at what he said to the woman who was brought to him under a condemnation of adultery. And the people, the men, were getting ready to stone her because of her sin. And Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin throw the first stone." In a loving way, Jesus, with his authority, announced forgiveness for her and rescued her from a judgment that would have condemned her to death. So, seeing God's love in our lives is an important thing. But a lot of times, even though we see it, we don't follow that example. We see God's love in our life, but we don't live that way. There are some times when, well, take for example a little story I read on the internet this week. There was a man who and his son at a convenience store. And the father had to go back in. I guess he'd gotten gas or something. And he had to go in and pay. And so he gave his son the keys to the pickup and said, "You go get in the pickup and wait for me. I'll be back in as soon as I pay." When he turned around and came back out, he saw the door of the pickup open and his son walking back. And he looked back. There was a man in a wheelchair. And his son was going back there to him. That sounds pretty dangerous, doesn't it? You don't know what might happen. And also, besides that, he thought, that guy in a wheelchair is probably asking him for a handout. And so he called his son to come back. And his son came, got in the pickup, and they started to drive away. And he said, what are you thinking? Going back there and putting yourself in jeopardy like that. And the boy said, he needed help. He's in a wheelchair and he's trying to get across this gravel parking lot just with his own power. He needed help. So I went back. I thought he needed help. So I went back and asked him, "Do you need some help? Can I help you?" And the man said, "No, I've got everything I need." And so that's all. The guy started thinking about it and he said, "You know, that was a loving thing to do, what his son had done. And I didn't even think about that. Shame on me. I should have realized." And so he backed up and he went there and he asked the guy, "Could we help you out with anything? Could we give you some money?" He said, "No, I've got everything I need. Your son cared about me, came back and offered to help. And that made my day. I have everything I need." Well, my point is that while the boy did show love to this man in the wheelchair, the father just didn't even see that opportunity. And that's the way we are a lot of times, isn't it? Sorry to say, but it's true. There's so many times when we just pass opportunities to show love to other people without even thinking. Not just out in society, but even in our own homes. We aren't always that loving. Sometimes we have to learn to adjust our attitude and maybe quit being so grouchy. I say that because that's a lesson I learned this week. Yeah, so Jesus not only taught a lesson about love all through his life, taught lessons about love, I should say, he also demonstrated it on the cross, didn't he? He demonstrated that love on the cross when he went there with the burden of our sins on his back, or maybe in his heart, and gave his life to remove the power of destruction that Satan held over us, and rescued us from sin, death, and the devil. Now that's not just an example. That's using his power in love for us. Thanks be to God. Now, I've got my opportunity to share a show and tell with you. Years ago, I was the vacancy pastor. No, I wasn't the vacancy pastor. I was the circuit counselor, we called him back then, working with a congregation in the calling process. First time the names came through and we went through the whole list process and we got all the names offered to the congregation. The congregation voted and they dropped the lowest one, dropped the lowest one, dropped the lowest one. And there were two left, Pastor A and Pastor B, we'll say. And the congregation called Pastor A. And he returned the call. We went through this six more times throughout the year, and we got around to, it was a year later, and they went through that same process, dropped the last, the least votes, dropped the next least, so forth, got back two pastors, it was a different A, it was B and C, let's put it that way, and the congregation called Pastor B from that first call list, and he accepted the call. And the people said, why didn't we call him a year ago? Right? A year ago. And so after he got there, I asked him. He was a classmate of mine, so I could do this. I said, would you have come a year ago if they'd called you? I told him the situation. He said, a year ago? I wouldn't have even looked at the call. Because we had so many things going on in the congregation at the time, I wouldn't have been able to consider it. Well, you see, God wanted that pastor there. And in his love, he let the congregation go through some times when they thought it was pretty bad, pretty rough, not right. But God was exercising his love to bring the pastor that he wanted there into their midst. Now that's exercising his power in a loving way. Well, I know you're not in a calling process, but you're still going through some tough times here. Several people have mentioned it to me already this morning about the attendance and what are we going to do? We have a different pastor every week. It's hard to know exactly the cadence when they say the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed and we're all out of sync. A lot of other things more difficult than that. But never fear, God's love is with you. And you can't see it in the immediate circumstances, perhaps, but you can count on it because it's His word from Scripture, His promise to be with you and care for you and in it all bring you through with His loving care. Because you see, as John wrote, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Because, and this is the part I want to point out, God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's His promise. And that's what He's bringing about in your midst. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what I mean. A new pastor every Sunday and they don't even know what to do with the offering plates, right? Let us pray for the whole Church of God and for all people. O Holy Trinity, you are God of gods and Lord of lords. Truly there is no God but you alone. From you and from your Son Jesus Christ are all things. Reveal the saving knowledge of Christ's truth to us and all the world, that loving you and one another together we may be known by God. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, whose voice was heard at Sinai, and whose authority was made manifest in Christ, the prophet greater than Moses, send faithful preachers into your harvest, who will be diligent to listen to your word and speak it faithfully in your name. Preserve us from false prophets, who would lead us away from your truth, and give us ears to hear gladly the saving words of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, guard our families and homes and build them up in love. Support parents in their task of instructing their children. Strengthen those whose faith is weak and make us bold to forego convenience and security to attest the truths of our most holy faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give health and success. Oh my goodness. Give health and success to our president and governor, our legislators and judges, and all who serve for our governance and protection. Make them high in purpose, wise in counsel, and unwavering in duty. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son cast out unclean spirits and taught with authority. He is the great physician of body and soul. Have mercy on those who are sick, distressed, in danger, or facing any need, especially those on our own prayer list, Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Robert, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy and her twins, Rhea and Emerson, Pastor Schuler and Ann, Carl, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, and Ron, and others, O Lord, that you know and we mention in our hearts. Sustain them with patience, trusting in your merciful care, and graciously relieve them, Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hope, guard and keep all who face the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, and preserve the faith of those troubled by doubts. Through the daily remembrance of our baptism, enable us to win the victory over all that threatens our faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Almighty and merciful God, we have again worshipped in your presence and received both forgiveness for our many sins and the assurance of your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this undeserved grace and ask you to keep us in faith until we inherit eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.